from the crypt.
Hello, boys and ghouls. Welcome to a very special interview episode of Dads from the Crypt. My name is Jason. I'll be your host today. And we're talking to writer, director, actor, Bill Kopp. You may know him from his lengthy career in animation that includes Eek the Cat, The Simpsons, and of course, the Tales from the Crypt series finale, Third Pig. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here on Dads from the Crypt.
All right. Well, let's start off from the very beginning. Tell me about how you got into animation.
Oh, God. Well, I was a painter at CalArts, and then I met all these crazy animators who everybody's heard of. You know, they're all big shots now. And they were so much more fun than the painters that I changed my major into animation.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of hooked up with Savage Steve Holland, and we became really good friends. And I did two films at CalArts that won the Student Academy Awards 2 years in a row. And then Savage had sold Better Off Dead and started doing that. And I did the animation for that. And then One Crazy Summer. And then after that, it was The Simpsons. Yeah, my light's going crazy. I hope that's not irritating.
I don't know. I say a little bit, not too much.
Yeah, it's like a little, it's spazzing out lately. I don't know why. And it's just been like that ever since. Ruined my life.
Did you grow up like really into cartoons?
I did a lot of stop motion when I was a kid and live action. But drawing animation, I mean, I was a big fan of it, obviously. And I studied it pretty intensely. But it always seemed like impossible, you know? Mm-hmm. And I didn't really have anywhere to learn, like, aside from the Preston Blair book about how to really do it. So I really jumped in at CalArts.
The stop motion you did, was that like with your action figures?
That was like clay.
Oh, clay.
But yeah, there were a couple, you know, I'm sure a few G.I. Joes got murdered along the way, you know, because why not?
Yeah. What's cool is that now you can use an app on your phone to do stop motion. And
it's
like
amazing. I'm doing the new project I'm doing right now, Dumb Bunny and Jackass. Mm-hmm. I'm using Character Animator. I've made 6 10-minute short cartoons since I didn't even start until last year, February.
Wow.
So I'm just doing the series on my own.
Oh, yeah.
We just won an award at the Los Angeles Animation Festival.
I saw that. Congratulations. Yeah. We'll get into all of that at the end. But I see a lot of influence on like Universal Monsters.
Oh, yeah.
In your work.
Oh, I'm a huge, those are my favorite movies. I mean, really, those were the first. We had a show in Seattle called Nightmare Theater. And it was like the vampire host, you know, that kind of guy. Mm-hmm. And it was a double feature. And I think it came on Friday nights. It might have been Saturday. And I just was devoted viewer of that. And that's where I saw all these great horror movies. But they're so beautiful. You know, that's mm-hmm. where I found Mario Bava, too. Like, right. It's very spooky. Yeah. So big, big, big fan of the Universal.
Do you have any personal favorites?
Bride of Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Absolute favorite horror movie ever of any of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that movie. I think it might have been rescheduled, but Mike Mignola was going to do like a screening of Bride of Frankenstein.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in L.A. And I think it might have been rescheduled. I have to double check.
A couple of years ago, GCM had John Landis screen one at the Man's Chinese, and we went to that.
That's
and
cool.
I just saw on Halloween night, I went to see at the Arrow Theater here in Santa Monica, the 3D creature, which I'd seen once before, but it's a pristine print, and, you know, it's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really, not to go off too much tangent, but it's so amazing. And I think Frankenstein and Bride of Frankenstein are only like a year or so apart, maybe a little bit more.
I think it's a couple of years because they had to talked James Whale into doing another one.
That's right. But like the leap in the film craft, the evolution of film between the two is amazing. Because the first one is still, you can tell they're in that era, they're still kind of figuring out how to make how to structure a movie and the craft. Like there's no music or anything.
There's no music.
And it's very creepy. It has some amazing moments, but I feel like the second one is a better overall film.
Yeah, it's much more lush. You know, you've got all that stuff in the mausoleum and the forest exterior with all the straight trees.
Right, and the effects with the people in the bottles is still
that's a great effect.
Yeah.
Yeah, really well done, too, for that time. I think it wasn't that like 30, what year was that? 34? Or?
Yes, early 30s. I'm looking it up right now. 35.
I think Frankenstein was 32, if I'm not mistaken.
So, okay, Bride was 35.
35.
And Frankenstein was 31. Okay, so it's 4 years.
Okay.
Give or take. But, you know, you start making them and everything beforehand.
And then you had Pretorius in there, and it was just a great performance.
Yeah, and also, like, you know, the bride, who only has, like, a few minutes of screen time, is just, what they do with that is crazy.
But she's shockingly,
memorable, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like we want a whole other movie just with her. And, all right. So what draws you into the medium of animation?
Oh, the fact that you can just do anything. Anything. From dropping pianos on people to just the surrealism and the speed that you can communicate information to people graphically. Just there's an animator named Bruno Bazzetto, Italian guy. And he made some really great shorts in the 70s. And I was a huge fan of his. And they're all like social commentaries, but they're very funny, very kind of dark. But I really studied his work. I met him actually. I think we were on The Simpsons. There was a party at John Crisfalucci's house, and he was there. And I was like, oh my God, nerded out.
No, tell me how you got involved with The Simpsons.
Well, we had just finished the animation on One Crazy Summer, and for the first time in 2 years, we were all out of work. And Wes Archer called me up one day, and he said, hey, there's this guy named Gabor Chupo, and he's doing these shorts, and we loved Matt Groening because we loved Life in Hell. And he's like, yeah, we're going to be working with Matt. And I was like, well, sign me up, you know? The other thing about that was I was doing some shorts for Fox for this show called The Late Show. So I did a bunch of these like 30-second shorts that were all kind of dark humor. So it was sort of in practice and they're all kind of in different styles. It was drawn in different styles. And so it was kind of neat because here comes Matt with his goofy style. And it was, it was really fun to like adapt that to movement, but it was a shitload of work. And Wes and I had to have help, so we got David Silverman in, who we'd worked with on One Crazy Summer. We're all good friends. And then once he came in, we had three guys, and so we would each do like what was it like 30 seconds a week, which is we basically lived there. And then we just started cranking it out every day.
So did they give you like a proof of concept, or do they like give you the character drawings and you kind of adapted? How does that
work? Matt would just come in with this really, really rough storyboards of the idea. And then we would just take it from there.
So who actually designed the characters? Like who designs Bart? Who designs Mark?
Matt. They came from Matt. And then we tried to retain his style. I mean, obviously when you're moving something around, you know, Matt's not the world's greatest draftsman, and he knows that. So we did modifications just for movement's sake. But those early Simpsons are essentially Matt's design without any real changes. You know, because we wanted to keep it that way.
Do you find it difficult to like someone gives you a drawing, like, okay, how do I do that? But you know, you do things in a certain way. Like he might do like upstrokes, or you do downstrokes, or like.
Well, every animator is going to do it different, even if they're drawing the same character. So you can totally – they always gave me the scenes where people's heads were exploding or there was lots of violence, you know. Anything that was a big graphic, crazy. Silverman was really good at the subtle you know, more acting kind of stuff. And Wes was really good at the more, we'd always give him the more complicated one, the ones that were like, I can't draw this. I don't know how, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But you can tell who's who. If you really get into animation and you really study it, you can know. Like, you can go through Looney Tunes, I can tell you who's drawing what and where and who's directing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but the audience definitely.
But as far as, like, stylistic, like, I don't think I could. I mean, I worked on the Roger Rabbit shorts, but we were storyboarding, so it was all crazy. And I probably could have animated Roger. He was pretty easy for me to draw, but, you know, anything big Disney, you know, Beauty and the Beast, shit like that, there's no way, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, sorry, I, wrong arena.
So, just to back up, you said you worked on storyboards for Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
For the Roger Rabbit shorts. I was the head of their story department there.
Okay.
And that's where Pat Ventura and I were working together.
Mm-hmm. So you were, was that before, so remind me, was that before Zemeckis was working on that, or was he on it from the beginning? Yeah,
the movie had already come out.
Oh, this is the short, okay, the shorts after, okay.
Yeah, so we did the shorts, like with Honey, you know, with Tommy, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, and Dick Tracy.
Those, okay, I remember those now.
Yeah. I mean, we had like a year to do each one.
Mm-hmm.
They just gave us all the money and all the time, so that's why they're so fucking great.
Right. All right. And then did you watch Tales from the Crypt before you got involved?
Oh, of course. Yeah. I mean, well, here's, okay. The real story there is like, I think when we were doing Eek the Cat, it was at Warner Brothers. I started, somehow I had met Joel Silver and I forget the guy's name who was kind of his assistant and Joel's secretary. And I had this story called Little Dead Riding Hood, and I really wanted to pitch it to Joel, and of course I could never get a meeting, but I for like a year I called that secretary every day, like at lunch, and it became kind of a joke. I was like, well, is Joel there, can I get a meeting? She's like, oh, good thing, hi Bill, you know. But it was on Eek the Cat, we're working with Nelvana, and Topher Taylor was kind of our executive, and I can't remember exactly how it happened, but he got to Joel, and because he knew about my idea, so he kind of pitched it. He got to Joel, and so he set up a meeting. That's another story. That's really funny. But anyway, he set up this meeting, and I pitched the idea to Joel, and he was like, okay, he's a little dead right. Like, do you have anything with the three pigs? And I was like, yeah, of course I do. And he's like, well, show me that, you know. And I said, well, let me pull it together, give me a week, you know. And I had, of course, I had zero
story, right.
None. And so I went home and I wrote it in like 3 days. It's all rhymes, so it was fairly easy, you know. And I kind of bounced it off of Savage. He was the one that told me to he's like, well, of course, you know, he's got to be framed for the murders. And I initially didn't have that in there. So, and then I took that to Joel, and they said, go ahead. And that was early 94.
But at the time, was that as a Tales from the Crypt episode?
Yeah.
Okay, so
it was always intended as a Tales from the Crypt.
Was there, so, when you came to him with Little Dead Riding Hood, was that like, oh, I have a great idea for a Crypt episode, or was that just supposed to be a one-off? Okay.
Yeah, I really wanted to do one. It was like a dream.
Mm-hmm.
You know, plus also it goes back to the horror stuff, you know, even the Peter Cushing, you know, all the Hammer shit, you know, and they were doing that show. How many seasons are there?
There's seven seasons.
Okay, seven, okay.
So
yeah, we were the last one, which is a great way to do it.
Did you know when you made it that it would be the last episode?
No, we never talked. It never came up. Mm-hmm. I thought they were going to do it forever. So, you know, I was just happy to be there. And we got to go to New Zealand to animate.
Oh, really? That's cool.
Yeah.
Was there talk of doing more animated Crypt episodes?
I don't remember there being talk about that, because I think right as we were finishing, they kind of were wrapping it all up.
Mm-hmm.
And it never came. I don't think I ever saw Joel again. Mm-hmm. After that.
Oh, he's still good. He's still somewhere in the wilds.
I was just happy to get it, you know. But just that whole point of being so persistent, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time Topher came in, it was able to, because they were talking about doing other projects together, and he brought this up. But they already knew who I was because I was such a prick and such a, you know, irrepressible dunderhead, you know, that they already knew who I was.
Right. Was there, so it's very, I mean, this is a very unique episode, and obviously it's animated, but also there's no connection to an EC comic. They usually, the directive, at least, at the very least, was you have to have a use a name of an EC comic. So was there ever
any artist directive? Or?
No, like to, so oh, like every like a title.
Story. Yeah. Or something. Yeah, no, the name came from, I just riffed off that Orson Welles movie, The Third Man. I was like, oh, that's, I'll make it sound cinematic, The Third Pig.
Yeah.
You know, but it had nothing to do with anything. Yeah.
So they just said, go with it, do the three pigs, yeah. Whatever you want.
Yeah. And, you know, as far, the actors were all buddies of mine that we'd worked for years already. And in fact, I just had lunch with John Kassir the other day.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Had you worked with him before?
Oh, God. Yeah. He was all over Eek. I think he was in Mad Jack. And then, of course, The Crypt Keeper. But we always, we lost track of each other for a little while there, like you do, you know, just people busy. But I started going to conventions, you know, selling animation and stuff. And he was always there, like at Midsummer Scream and whatever. So we kind of reconnected a few years back. And, so now he's helping me on Dumb Bunny.
Oh, nice. Yeah, no, John's great. I love John.
Oh, yeah. He's a really, really sweet guy.
And then it's interesting because the episode's interesting because it's, you know, obviously the riff on Three Little Pigs, and you're kind of like adulting it up a little bit, kind of like Spike and Mike style. But then you have this whole sequence in the courtroom, which is like, wait, this is going somewhere a little bit more serious.
Well, you know, a big influence on me too is Fractured Fairy Tales and all the Rocky Bullwinkle stuff. And I loved the way they would just pack story into those cartoons. You know, and their fairy tales would often just go off to the left in a really adult, satirical way.
Right.
So that's kind of where that vibe came from, because I would just love those cartoons.
Yeah, the fact that it's all the
animation style, you know, lent itself. The studio we used in New Zealand, I don't know if they're there anymore. God, I can't even remember the name. But they had done all kinds of stuff for me that like on my Strickland's Meat show, they did Pith Possum and Tex Tin Star. They were really good. And so I they're like, well, where do you want to animate this thing? Because we always pick an overseas studio. And I was like, I'm New Zealand, because they kicked ass. So they had been working on Disney stuff for a while. And we would give them these scenes at the beginning, just kind of warm people up. And they would come back with just, you know, hundreds of drawings and beautiful. I mean, the animation was beautiful. And I'd be like, nope, you don't need that. You don't need that. You know, I would take an 80-page sequence and trim it down to like 15 drawings. It was like, there's what we're doing. You know, so meant to be really exaggerated, limited. And of course, that's a specialty of Pat Ventura. And we've been buddies since CalArts. So that's why I brought him in on it.
Right. Well, and then the only real like official Crypt, Tales from the Crypt property after the show ended was the animated series Tales from the Crypt Keeper.
Yeah, I never. That must have been the thing that Topher was doing.
Yeah, because it's the same studio that at least the logo. Nelvana.
But I never watched it because how can you do it, right? Yeah. You know, I don't think I ever watched one of them. I might have seen the title sequence, but. There's a lot of animation TV shows that I haven't watched.
Well, it's an interesting trend when there's like a hard R property that they make into a cartoon. Like there's a RoboCop animated series. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
It's all marketing, but
yeah. Funny. Yeah. But I just never, you know, I got it out of my system most of it out of my system on the Third Pig.
Mm-hmm. Was that, how complicated was that compared to what you were normally doing?
It was pretty simple because we were physically, a lot of times things get complicated because we're not physically at the overseas studio. Mm-hmm. But because Pat and I were there for, we were there for like 6 weeks or something.
Mm-hmm.
It was just good to be hands on, and it really wasn't, we had a good team, you know, so it was really pretty smooth. And then the scariest part of it was we had to take the animation to be digitized at a little studio called Weta that didn't really exist. They were just like a post-production place. But we had the worst, scariest flight into, is it Wellington, the mm-hmm. South Island? Oh, my God. I thought we were going to die. The wind was so terrible. And Pat is not a good airplane guy. But it was like, it was terrifying. When we hit the ground, we were just like, oh, my God, mm-hmm. thank God. I mean, we didn't hit the ground, but it was pretty scary, man. I mean, the plane was like, it was the most frightening airplane ride I've ever been on. And that place was super windy just all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was funny working there. And I think we just went there to digitize everything, and they were doing the color. Because at that time, you know, paint had started to go away from the process.
Then
so there was no more painting cells.
Did you work with any of the other usual Crypt team, like Gil Adler or Al Katz?
Well, not really. I mean, once the script was approved, I met with Gil a couple of times, I think, but it was no, there was never any like, oh, let's get into it. You know, they really liked it. They didn't really have any notes. They were just like, okay, go.
Yeah. Well, I think by that point in the season, after doing the second movie, I think they had a handful.
Yeah, they might have been kind of burned out too, thankfully. But no, the script was very well received. Obviously, it got made. Mm-hmm. You know,
that's awesome. What else can you tell me about making of that episode?
Well, that's the only other country, New Zealand, that has that brews its own Guinness.
And how many?
The only place outside of Ireland that has a Guinness brewery there. I don't know. There wasn't. It was pretty smooth. I don't remember there being any problems.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was kind of the weather was weird, but everybody was so good and talented that it was really fun. You know, it was just like working. Everybody came really close really fast,
mm-hmm.
and it was, you know, they were surprised, most of them, because like I said, they'd been sort of working on the Disney stuff for a while. Right. So they're all kind of all about this and, you know, and they're like, no, just make his head explode, you know? So it was fun showing them what they could get away with. But the trick with the cartoon like that is knowing what not to draw, you know, that's what makes it swing.
Did you get any, was there any content pushback from HBO or the production side?
No, none.
How'd that feel?
That came later when it would air at certain places. They would. I was in. Where was I? I was like in Mexico or something, and it just came on the hotel TV, and they cut a whole bunch of shit out of it. And I've seen them make cuts elsewhere for it. Like the whole murder thing gets obliterated.
Right.
Well, but no, they were pushing us to do that. Joel was like, "Yeah, fucking bring it on." You know, that was a big reason that I think they wanted to do it. It's like, we're going to make this thing a bloodbath, you know.
How'd that feel to have that freedom?
Yeah. Oh, it's great to take the seatbelts off. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it still hasn't. I've met people who saw it when they were really little, and it really freaked them out.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. These are people who are adults now working like in the horror industry. They're like, yeah, that scared the shit out of me. I was like, it scared you? How? What? Yeah, to me, it's like Monty Python with the Black Knight, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's so exaggerated that how do you not laugh at that? But I guess if you're six.
Yeah. Or the other one, the guy who eats too much.
Creosote.
Yeah.
Mr. Creosote. Yeah.
Yeah. That freaked me out when I was a kid. Yeah. I saw that. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, it was weird. But no, it's one of my favorite things I've ever done, and people love it still to this day. Whenever Halloween rolls around, my Facebook page lights up with, you know, snippets from it.
Do you have any of the, like, I guess I don't know if this is the thing, this would have been a thing, but do you have like any animation cells or anything from that?
I have a book of all the layout drawings and backgrounds. Ooh. Somewhere. We moved a couple of years ago, so I don't know exactly where it is. Probably right around here somewhere. Mm-hmm. But there were no cells because it was all digital.
Right.
The color was done digitally. And there's a friend of mine who bought a bunch of stuff from Nelvana when they kind of closed up shop. And he bought all the Eek the Cat. I mean, he bought all that stuff. He's a big collector. And there was a bunch of Tales from the Crypt stuff in there. But I have I've got all the whole background layout book. It's about that thick.
Well, I'm speaking on behalf of Tales from the Crypt fans worldwide. Put that stuff on Instagram.
Yeah, you know, I should. Let me see if I can dig it up. And I think I have a friend that scanned a bunch of them, too. Mm-hmm. I do have some original sketches that Pat and I did.
That's awesome.
So there's a bunch of that stuff laying around. Yeah, I should put some of that stuff up there. I think I posted some Dudley drawings from it that were like pencil, pencil sketches. I might, I think I have those handy. I might shoot one or two to you so you can use them for the on your page or whatever.
All right, and then let's talk about Eek the Cat, because again, I watched that when I was a kid. That was fun.
Eek the Cat was great fun.
How'd that come about?
Well, like I said, Savage and I were great friends. They're all that. And he shot after one crazy summer. He went off to do a couple other live action movies, and I was at Warner Brothers. And then we got together one day, and he's like, we should, because Fox was starting the kids network thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he was doing. He was at Fox already. And he's like, we should get something together and pitch it to them because they need content and they're desperate. This was the early days of Fox, you know. So he had the idea for Eek the Cat, and it was based on a real cat of his.
Oh, really?
That I think got eaten by a hawk or something. Yeah. Taken out of the driveway. But the idea really essentially was, okay, let's do a character that's like super sweet and always wants to do the right thing and really cares about everyone, but always gets shit on and the crap beat out of him no matter what. That's where "It Never Hurts to Help" came from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's his slogan, obviously. And you know that. And so that was that was his character. So we sat down and boarded out a short sequence. I can't even remember what it was like. And I think we had help from, somebody in Canada. And it wasn't Will Vinton. It was somebody else. Marv Newland helped us with the animation. And that was the weekend Stevie Ray Vaughan got killed. I thought of that right now. I was flashing back to us working all night and hearing that on the radio. But anyway, so we took that in to see Margaret Lesh, and she ended up not only loving it, but she and I became partners for years after that. She was like one of the best people I've ever worked with. She just let us roll. She thought it was so funny, and we had, you know, Savage and I had sort of a personal charm back then. We were really funny together in a meeting because we never took anything seriously.
Yeah, so I mean,
just turned us loose.
It's really a good example of irreverence, but with heart.
Yeah, I love that.
To kids.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, I think you need a little pathos. I think even as bloody as the third pig is, there's a lot of that with Dudley. You know,
like
he's got that soft side, and he just wants to do the right thing. You know, he's very eek in a way. Now I think about it.
That was part of its
charm. You know. But yeah, we just cranked that stuff out. And I think I was on Tasmania when we sold it. And I had a contract, sort of, with Warner Brothers. And I had to break that. And I thought they'd be all happy because I sold my own TV show. Hey, you know, look what I did. And they were furious. And that like shocked me. I was like, oh God. They were like, but they let me out of it, and then we went off to do Eek, and that went on for years.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the cast real quick to remind myself, and the people Kirkwood Smith.
He was great fun.
Oh, Mr. T. William Shatner.
Tim Curry.
Mm-hmm. Tim Curry, Corey Feldman.
Corey Feldman. Yeah, we had all kinds of the other voice guys.
Buck Henry.
I wish we'd have taken more pictures back then.
Right.
But we never wanted to be that guy. Like, oh, here, let's get a picture. You know.
Well, I mean, somewhat contemporary of yours. What's his name? Mike Vosburgh. He has like tons of photographs. He did like the covers for the Crypt episode.
Yeah. We took a few, but we were never. I don't know. I think we were so nervous and alarmed that anyone was taking us seriously. Like the one with Shatner, we were super nervous about him coming in. And this was, he was kind of, remember when he was kind of a dick for a while? Before he did, he turned funny, right? Somewhere back there. And, but he had this reputation as being kind of an asshole. And when he pulled up to the studio, the recording studio, Savage was like, "You get out there and go meet him. I'm too nervous." I'm like, "Oh Jesus," you know. So I walk out there, and this Mercedes door opens, and out, and he's having trouble getting out of the car. And then he puts his foot down. He's got a big cast on his ankle, and he was kind of struggling. And I was sort of helping him out, and I go, "Are you gonna be okay, or do I need to call Dr. McCoy?" And he gave me the shittiest eye-burning glare that just shot right through my soul. Because he didn't know who I was.
Yeah.
You know, some roadie making a joke or something. But I was just mortified. My heart just melted, turned to water right there. And I was like, oh, my God, I got to work with this guy for the next 3 hours, you know.
Yeah.
We wanted him to be Kirk. He was playing Santa Claus. We wanted him to be Kirk. And then he's like, "I've been working on this character, and here's how I want to see him." And he was kind of if you listen to the thing, if you remember, he was kind of this little wimpy old man, and it was sort of sad. And we were just like, "Oh my God," we did not have the balls to direct him any other way because we were just, "Fuck it, let's just go." Sure, that's great, you know.
That's so funny.
Then we worked with him again, and I think he played Santa Claus again. And he was a lot more fun. And we had the Barbie twins in that day, so he was just ecstatic with those giant boobs to stare at. The thing was with Ike, it was so popular that we could get just about anybody to come in.
I mean,
we had what's his name? Duchovny from...
Yeah, looking at Jillian and David Duchovny.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you had Fabio.
Fabio! I think we had him more than once. Yeah, Fabio... He was a really nice guy. Actually, Fabio would hang out at Savage's place, and Fabio would come to my he came to a Halloween party I threw at my house in Santa Clarita, and he brought Mike Piazza. And that was when the Dodgers were hot, you know.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, Mike Piazza. It's amazing. Yeah, but Fabio was a lot of fun. He was a great guy.
So that, and that kind of brings us full circle to Bobcat.
Bobcat. Well, Bobcat was really, obviously he was in One Crazy Summer, and he and Savage were good buddies. And then, so we used him on whenever we could on Eek. And then he was just the obvious choice with that voice to be the wolf.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. He has such an interesting career. I'd love to talk to him one day because, like, he was doing the Police Academy movies, and then he did this weird movie I saw on TV as a kid once about with a talking horse.
Did you see his Bigfoot movie?
I saw Bigfoot, and I'm like, this is a good horror director. Like,
yeah, he's great, and he's really funny. Actually, there's a film festival in Spain that we were at in October, and they're doing another one. They do it every October, and They want to do a Tales from the Crypt thing. So,
oh, really?
I don't know how to get a hold of Bobcat, but I know a friend we're all mutual friends. So they want him to come down to Spain. I hope he goes.
This is upcoming.
Yeah. Gil Adler was going to be there, and John Cassier will be there. I'll be there.
When is it?
It's in October. It's in a town called Sitges.
Okay.
It's a very famous horror festival. It goes on for like 3 weeks or something.
Wow.
It's mammoth. But it's great. It's super fun.
Maybe I'll ask for the names. I'm not gonna remember that. Yeah. I want to check that out.
Well, I'll keep you posted. It's October, so we got, you know, 10 months
to go. Yeah, but yeah, I get to get these people like in line as wild cards.
Well, like John Cassier is totally into it.
Yeah, no, John. Yeah, John.
The Mac has turned it down.
Yeah.
I think the makeup guy, and I don't know, I forget his name.
Todd Masters.
Yes.
Yeah.
So he wants to go.
So I mean, yeah, this will go to Spain.
Yeah. Oh my God. Well, we're actually I'm moving there.
You're moving to Spain.
Yeah.
That's awesome. But
probably if not late this year, it'll be early next year.
Like, well, because you like it or for business?
Because we love it. Yeah. Because mm-hmm. it's just gorgeous, and we know so many people over there now too. As one of my dumb buddies showed last October, and my wife Heidi. Is like a horror chick, and she does all these panels and stuff, and she wrote a book, and she's going to write another one. So we just met all these people, and it's just so much nicer than Los Angeles. And we're like, why are we here? Why are we here? You know, plus we can get a house for, you know, 350,000 euros that, you know, has, you know, acres of land and 6 bedrooms and it's by the beach, right? A house that would cost you $3 million here.
Sure. Well, that's something.
No, and not also, to be honest, and you know, Hollywood is acting so bizarre, and it's so hard to. I mean, since 2014, 15, I've had so many big projects just collapse because either they changed executives or somebody dropped out or whatever, and it's just impossible to get anything made here, and I'm tired of it. You know, so that's why I'm doing these dumb bunnies right here using my own equipment, because I know how to do every job in animation. And I'm just tired of banging my head against the wall, trying to make stuff made. So there's European markets that are wide open and welcoming. And there's
Now that everything's digital and streaming and everything, you can do anything from anywhere, really.
Yeah. And honestly, the streaming thing is really weird to watch. It's almost like we're going back to TV, just regular TV, like. And now there's commercials, right?
I know. Oh, driving me crazy.
But yeah, content-wise, I mean, we're talking to my agents, and we're like, well, we're going to pitch this thing, you know? And so I'm still waiting to hear back from them. Because everybody goes to sleep through the holidays. Like, most people aren't even back yet. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. Anyway, I don't want to complain too much, but
that's the kind of things I want to hear.
Yeah, if I'm going to be making, I'm here to make cartoons, not talk about making.
Well, except to me.
Well, we did make this one.
Yeah.
No, this got made. So
the ones that you haven't made, yeah.
Yeah, the ones. And I'm not the only one of my peers who's feeling it, because I know people who had development deals gone on for 2 years. Nothing's happening.
Really? Yeah, I mean, yeah, we got kind of toxic. But talk to me about Dumb Bunny and Jackass, which just rolls right off the tongue.
Dumb Bunny and Jackass. Well, it's a lot in common with the Tale from the Crypt episode. It's that, that tone. They're both idiots, but they're sincere. And again, there's that heart. But it was a way to just – I've had the characters for a long time, and they're just two knuckleheads that live together. And – face the terrors of reality, or not reality sometimes too. The episodes are silly. I mean, there's one where they get visited by an alien, and he's like, I want to learn more about Earth. So they drag him through their version of Earth, which is like bars and booze and, you know, strip clubs. And they're all 10 minutes long, so they're super fast. But it's a buddy comedy type thing. But they're usually, what I find is that they're going up against some third character, and they sort of parlay with that.
Yeah, I was watching.
Really funny.
Yeah, I was watching the clip you had online with the pixie.
Yes.
That was really funny. Because for a moment there, I'm like, oh, should I get my, I have a 9-year-old daughter. She's all into pixies and fairies and all that kind of stuff and unicorns. I'm like, oh, maybe I should go get her to watch this. Then I'm like, let me watch it first.
Yeah, watch it but you know, there's nothing out of line in any of them. There's some language that, there's a couple of fucks here and there, but I try to curb it away. And they do drink, but it's nothing more. If she's able to handle the Tales from the Crypt,
no, she's not watching that.
She would watch the. How old is she?
9.
Oh, okay.
She watches the Simpsons Trios of Horror, though. So this is like right on that line.
Yeah. I mean, if there is any blood in these dumb bunnies, it's usually, again, so over the top, it's ridiculous.
Or the kitty oath.
But it was a way for me to be like, look, I'm just going to be as funny as I want, very much like the Tales from the Crypt episode. I'm just going to do what I think is funny. And I'm not, you know, there's nobody giving me any notes on anything. So.
Right.
But they're silly, and the music becomes a big part of it. I mean, the there's one in a haunted house that we took to Spain, and they showed it in their family thing. I mean, there's no gore in it, but it's a funny, like, it's almost like a Scooby-Doo. There's even a song, you know, that they sing.
Oh, the I'm in Love with a Dead Girl?
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched that. That had a lot of EC comic vibe, like the old EC comic.
Oh, sure, yeah.
I really like that.
Yeah. And the whole thing was to make a joke of those old bad Scooby-Doo songs. You know? I just listened to a bunch of those and wrote that. But that's what they're like. They're just straight out funny cartoons. No, nothing heavy, you know. They're just there to be funny.
No.
So we've made six of them. I'm finishing the sixth one now. And then we're going to start pitching. I don't know where yet. We just started talking to my agents about putting a list together where to take this thing. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't work here, we'll just take it to Europe.
There you go.
Do it that way. But I'm hoping to, I would like to get it set up here and bring it. I want to get it set up so I can hire my favorite old voice guys, you know, get Tom Kenny and Bowser in there and, you know, Charlie Adler.
Mm-hmm.
Brad knows about it. Brad and I actually pitched it a few years ago when it was just an idea. That was cool.
But it's great that you have like the actual shows to show to pitch it that way in those little clips. And that's the kind of stuff. Yeah. Just keep pumping the social media.
There's a really funny short. It's like a fake commercial for Kiddios.
Yeah. That was funny.
Did you see it?
Yeah. Yeah. The one that you put on your YouTube. I was watching that early today. Really funny.
Okay.
I was like, oh, what's this? Oh, wait, no, you're not doing that. Are you? Okay.
I'll send you the link if you want to. I mean, you don't have to if you don't want to.
No, yeah.
You could post it on your page if you want.
No, it was really funny. Again, my daughter, again, is also obsessed with cats. I'm like, at least you'd appreciate that.
That's my cat on the box, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you betcha. Kitty Pie, that's his name.
I guess if you're getting cats as cereal, you're going to do your own cat.
I don't know. The first couple, I was kind of testing like how far I wanted to go with it, but I've never really gone. I don't think I've ever really crossed the line, you know? And I don't think I ever will. I don't think it's my style. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to carry on like this. The next one, the new one is about them being interviewed by this guy. The show's called Hollywood Liars. And it goes through their history. But I start them back in like Georges Méliès' days. So they're doing like silent, and they're different puppets, you know. So they go through the trajectory of, you see them change their design as they evolve through their cartoons. So, and after that, I don't know.
Well, good luck to you.
Make it up as I go along.
Well, so far I'm liking what you're doing. So
good. Yeah, we're excited about it. It's really fun.
Here's a more overarching question. How has animation evolved over your career? Obviously, you know, the digital tools have evolved.
Boy, that's a big one.
And what do you miss from like the earlier days that you wish you could retain?
What I miss from the early days is being in a room full of storyboard guys. You know, banging out gags together. That was really fun. And all recording together. You know, in those early days on Eek and all those early shows, everybody showed up at the same time, you know, and then everybody started getting all famous. So, you know, like, oh, I can't be there, you know, but it used to be like that was the rule. Like, everybody's in here. So I miss that. What I don't miss is painting and shooting animation cells under the Oxbury. I mean, that was a nightmare. I can't believe we did all that. You know, those cells, there's thousands of them. I sold a lot of them on eBay to pay the rent. But, you know, all that stuff, especially in One Crazy Summer, was all shot on ones. So it was literally 24 drawings per second. So that was a lot of stuff to shoot. So the process has become so easy. and so fast now. And you and I'm using character animator. You've seen the drawings. It looks like my stuff, and it moves, you know, pretty much like that. It's not a, it's not here to be elaborate animation, but I'd say it's Tales from the Crypt quality, right?
Right, totally. Yeah, well, I was watching earlier today, like, the characters looked very hand-done, like, still in that style.
Yeah,
the backgrounds look a bit better, like,
yeah.
You know, obviously, like, yeah. with the digital enhancements.
Yeah, and then, of course, you're able to, when you're working digitally, you retain those line qualities. So you're making puppets, basically, so you can reuse heads and this and that, you know. Mm-hmm. But these cartoons take about, I don't know, probably all told about 6 weeks, 7 weeks maybe to make. And the slowest part is building the puppets and doing all the layouts and backgrounds. The animation, ironically, is the fastest part of this process. I've yet to have a 10-minute cartoon take me more than a week to animate.
Wow.
It's that fast. Lip sync is like takes about a quarter of a second. You drop the line in. It'll be a little more accurate if you type the words, too, in a little panel. And then you hit a button, and bang, there it is. And, wow. And so, because lip sync used to be a nightmare, you know. You'd have to do all those drawings. So now it's just one mouth chart. It's amazing. I can't believe more animators aren't using this. Mm-hmm. It's so fast.
That's cool.
So the whole process has been streamlined. This is, which is why I can actually sit in my room and make an entire series by myself.
Mm-hmm. No, cool.
I'm thinking about doing a feature.
Yeah.
75 minutes, you know, like a Tom and Tom and Jerry's, they were like 75 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I made a couple of Tom and Jerry movies.
There you go.
Yeah, but it's a lot. I'm not done, man, you know.
No, we don't want you to be. We want more. Keep it pumping.
Yeah. Something will say, nobody will go well because it's genuinely funny. People like it. So, yeah.
Here's another one. What have you ever watched the comic or pretty much anything and be like, damn it, I wish I'd done that? Or,
The Wall, Pink Floyd.
Oh, love The Wall.
Yeah, that was a big influence on me. In fact, my second cartoon at CalArts was very much along the Gerald Scarfe style. Yeah, that's one. Trying to think, there's a lot of stuff on TV that I hate. The Wall stands out.
Yeah, I love. Yeah,
that's I thought classic. Adventure Time was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like just story wise and the Fantastic Lands and all that. I thought that was pretty good. Yeah. Beyond that, I don't know.
For some reason, I have trouble getting into Rick and Morty overall, but like
I've never seen a complete episode, and I don't really want to.
But because I like the frenetic energy. Like if I just drop into a scene, I'll watch like a clip. But
yeah,
it's too much for a whole
like episode. Me. I've seen like some clips that are very fast paced, and I guess I admire that as far as you know timing. But I hear so many people like, "Ooh, Rick and Morty," and I that turns me off when I hear too much. I don't want to know, you know. Besides that, I'm reluctant to really get into popular. TV animation because I don't want to be influenced by it.
Yeah.
And once The Simpsons really took off and became a hit, I backed off. You know, that's when I went to Disney and I rarely watched a Simpsons episode after that. Not because I hate them, I just not interested.
Yeah, sure. All right. And then our traditional final question is that in the very first episode of Tales from the Crypt, William Sadler plays, you know, an executioner. And this is actually my one thing I wish we could have had in this episode was if William Sadler could have voiced the executioner in the courthouse. Thought that would have been a great symmetry.
Oh, that would have been good.
But, I mean, you didn't know that was the last one, so...
No, I didn't.
If you had known that would have been the cool thing, but... Anyway, I thought
the first episode was the one that Zemeckis did with the Santa Claus.
Well, all three, those two and the Dig That Cat, so they all came out the same night.
Oh,
technically,
okay.
I mean, it kind of depends on probably where you watched or how you watched it, but at least like as far as the official or unofficial, whatever sequencing is that the Man Who Is Deaf was the first.
Oh,
but they're all kind of like the same time.
Did my executioner? Oh, I know who you're talking about. Yeah. Well, the judge turns into the executioner.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah. If you could have worked that in some way.
Yeah,
like,
that would have been great. Yeah.
In hindsight, that would have been neat. But in the episode, he goes into a cafe, walks in, and says, "I'd like a cheese sandwich and a cup of coffee." Doesn't specify grilled cheese, any kind of cheese. They just give him a cheese sandwich. If that was you, what kind of cheese sandwich would you want?
I would go for blue cheese. What's it called? Stilton.
Ooh.
Stilton with a little bit of some pate on there.
There you go. That might be the fanciest answer I've had to that question, but I like it.
But the truth is, it'd probably be just if I was to make it myself, I wouldn't do Stilton. I'd make a grilled cheese. Probably with just American cheese.
Mm-hmm.
It's like napalm
when you grow it. All right. Well,
I like that. I had to go somewhere weird with
it. No, I love it. Pate.
Stilton.
All right. Well, Bill, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people follow you?
Well, the website's up, Bill Cop Animation. We just did some work on it. And it's got a lot of the Dumb Bunny stuff on there. My Instagram is Bill Cop Funny. That's about it. And I've been so busy. Well, we had the holidays and now I'm animating again. So I'm kind of off the grid for a minute. But I'll start posting some more stuff on Instagram soon. And I'm on Facebook. I've got my page and then my Bill Cop Animation page.
Excellent.
So there you go.
All right. Well, that wraps things up. Thank you very much.
It was fun.
Thank you for listening to Dads from the Crypt.
All right.
Follow Dads from the Crypt on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or I will follow you to the grave. No, seriously, you really should watch, but be careful what you axe for. You may get it. Ha 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 ha.